The Booms are back, baby.
Oh, and Sundance is leaving Utah.
Idaho says no to nuts.
These?
Truck.
Oh. Also, an epic pickle treat time. Who's surprised? Probably not you.
Coming up all tonight right here on IFAF.
IFAF. Idaho Falls Local. Independent. Alternative. Media. With Mike Nelson and Carly Morgan.
Welcome back, and good evening, ungovernables, outliers, and independent thinkers.
You know, with the right music behind that, that could have been like the opening to a horror movie.
They're back.
Yeah, there we go.
They're here. That was Poltergeist, right, I think?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I got different headphones on today. These are not my lucky headphones.
What made you switch them up?
I traded... in fact, I don't even think I have them in the right headphone hole. How embarrassing. Oh, no, there we go. There we go.
Hearing okay now?
Got him in the wrong hole.
That's what he said.
Not the green hole, the purple hole. This poor. Okay. Yeah, so these are Sony MDR7506 studio monitor headphones.
That means a lot to me.
They're just, you'll see them on a lot of podcasts. You'll just see this phone. Does it have the, yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Or wait.
Yeah, it's got a logo.
Does it have the color stripe?
Yep.
Okay. Any TV or movie show about people who talk into microphones, they're usually talking into an Electro Voice RE20 microphone.
Okay.
And wearing these headphones.
Right.
We use Shure SM7B microphones.
You're asking me like, because, I know.
Well, just not. Because they're just what I'm like, you know, I'm play the hits, right?
Right, right. Yeah.
It's what everybody else uses. That's what we use.
Makes sense.
But these headphones in particular have an issue where sometimes the cord comes out.
Right. Yeah.
And I've learned to recognize that issue over the years with a pair of headphones that I've owned probably 10 years, the ones I've worn every episode except this one. And I hit up my old chief engineer.
Uh-huh.
We had lunch today.
Oh, so the cord was coming out and that's why you had to not wear them today?
It was a preemptive repair. It hadn't pulled all the way out yet.
Right, right. But you wanted to make sure it
was
didn't.
Gonna.
Right. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Well, that's great that you met up with your old chief engineer and stuff.
It's so great. That. Yeah. If you need your transmitters fixed, he's your man. He's the man.
I mean, well, there you go.
I'm pretty sure he's the only radio engineer, RF dude around here who does heavy lifting when it comes to transmitters.
That makes sense. Well, and I feel like there just aren't that many like electronic repair places in general anymore.
Yeah.
Like there's all of like what, one in town?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, realistically, all of your iPads and phones and stuff like that can't really be fixed anyway because they've done that intentionally because they're butts. But you know.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that. We've talked a lot about how frustrating it is when we experience planned obsolescence.
Right, yeah.
You know, when the iPhone update nerfs your... Didn't Apple get sued by some European Union or something?
They did.
Not just for the special
proprietary jack.
Lightning cord.
Mm-hmm.
But and so now it's all USB-C.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, European Union. But also for like, you know... Nerfing your shit with a software update.
Yeah, which is a bunch of bullshit, but whatever.
I think, as I understand the facts, allegedly.
Well, yeah, but they also, I think, have gotten sued or like people have talked about suing them for the right to repair.
Yes, there's another one.
Yeah, because basically they've made it so that you can't fix your stuff anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I remember back in the day when, like, with one of my first phones, being able to pop out the battery and restart it that way if it was acting fucky.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And that's not something you can do anymore. You will break your phone trying to do that.
So I just read about the concept of, has everybody heard this one already? And maybe I'm the last person on earth. The concept of the opposite of planned obsolescence, which is...
The right to repair, right?
No, graceful degradation.
Oh, okay.
So let me explain. Pretend that this zero that I'm showing you is the butt end of a flashlight.
Okay.
And in this zero goes four batteries.
Right.
And as the batteries start to die, let's say you only put one battery in, even though there's four slots.
Okay.
The light will still work. The flashlight will still work.
Oh.
Only it'll be really dim.
Right. That makes sense.
You put in all four,
mm-hmm.
and it'll perform as expected.
Okay. Makes sense.
But yes, let's push for that. We already use exclusively only free open source software to produce this podcast.
Yeah.
But let's push for graceful degradation.
Yeah, I'm so down for that.
In all our electronics. Isn't that a cool concept?
Yeah, that and right to repair, I think, is a big one too.
Yes.
Like, it just should not be that hard to fix a thing, especially something as simple as replacing a battery in a phone.
Well, and I'm the kind of guy who, if I get a tear in my pants, even like my joggers, into the trash they go.
Which I hate.
Or, you know, if it isn't too bad, but I don't like it, you know, it goes to... Jeez, Goodwill, DI, and Idaho Youth Ranch, wherever. Haven, Women's Shelter, ICAP, John Radford. you will take a little stitch.
Yeah, of course
and
I will.
Fix it right up. You're a fixer.
Yeah, I absolutely am. And I think part of that comes from my parents, especially my dad. He's also a big fixer, and he can fix anything. It's sort of amazing, you know? But on top of that, too, just... It feels so wrong, just wrong.
To completely discard something just because one thing isn't.
Right, when 99% of it is good and you need to fix just one thing, it just, I don't know, something doesn't sit right with me. I'm all about reduce, reuse, recycle, baby.
Yeah. You're responsible.
I try to be.
I'm a terrible American.
And don't get me wrong, there is a limit to that too. Like if there's a stain on a dress, I probably will end up getting rid of it if I can't get rid of the stain.
Yeah.
You know, because I do still want it to look nice. And part of the function of the garment is to make me look good. And therefore, if it does not function the way that I would like it to, then I won't keep it.
And you can't repair it or fix it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But my first step is always try to fix it.
Today's a big day. March 31st, of the month.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a big day for the water tower. So today, and I don't know what time. Google it. Today, they're going to raise the bowl.
Pretty big, huh?
Was it just last week we showed you that big old bowl at the bottom of the water tower? Today's the day.
How wild is that?
Now, I wonder if they're going to do it the same time or before or after. I imagine before this thing happening at 6:30. Join us as we bid farewell to the historic water tower at this free community event. Today at 6:30 p.m. at 200 North Eastern Avenue. It's a old water tower tribute event.
Okay.
So out with the old, in with the new is happening today.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I'm sure there's going to be another day where they actually turn it on.
Sure.
And we start drinking from.
Probably. Yeah.
Yeah.
One has to assume. I guess. Okay. So kind of going back to our whole repair things first conversation that we just had. So, you know, especially as someone who tends to be very much about repairing before replacing, definitely a bittersweet moment because here's something where we've repaired it as much as we can, we no longer can, and now we've got to replace it, but it stinks because it's so iconic to the area.
It is like 10 years past its due date,
or
eight, something like that.
It's pretty old.
Yeah, we should have done this a while ago. And again, it's a 500,000 gallon capacity water tower. We're getting a million.
Yeah, which makes sense because we do also have a rising population.
Yeah.
But yeah, just...
I can't wait to see the bowl on it and how far you can see it, like, from the freeway.
Yeah, I bet it's going to be kind of crazy,
when you're coming into town. Will that be the new Budweiser plant? Will that be the new...
Yeah, it's definitely going to add to the skyline.
Yeah.
Not that there's much of one. But
Beacon, yeah. There's like four things in our skyline.
Basically. I mean, there's the Quality Inn and Suites Hotel.
Comfort Suites.
Comfort Suites, whatever it is.
With the Quality Inn and Suites Hotel sign.
Yeah, there's that. There's the water tower. There is the temple and... Gosh, I can't even think of a fourth. Can you?
The new water tower.
Yeah, there you go.
That's it. Comments and follow-ups. We talked about the PD graffiti.
Oh, yeah.
And the graffiti problem we've been having. Mm-hmm. They got a guy.
Oh, interesting.
They arrested a guy.
Oh, was it a teenage boy?
24-year-old male.
Okay, so just immature.
Yeah. They found him. He was riding the green belt on an electric scooter with a black ski mask on. And a backpack full of spray paint.
Okay, come on, bud. I mean, especially because don't you need an app to use those scooters?
Yeah,
So he thinks that they can't track him using the app?
Well, and when the officer drove by, officer on patrol, drove by and went, that looks like the suspect we have seen on camera multiple times. Yeah. approached him, and he had like dried spray paint all over his shit.
What a dummy.
It's not like he was trying to hide it.
Right.
And it was at 11:30 at night, so it's not like he was even, you know, covert.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like 3 a.m. is so different than 11 at night.
I thought 3 a.m. was tagging time, not to give anybody any ideas.
I mean, yeah, though. But, you know, like after the bars are closed, when there aren't people in downtown as much, that's when you go.
After our last episode, and we mentioned the East Idaho Crime Stoppers $500 reward for the dude, mm-hmm. East Idaho Crime Stoppers started following us, so welcome.
Funny.
Nice to have you on board.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll let you know if we see any spray painters.
Yeah. Yeah. We're no snitches, but hopefully people watching and listening are. No, I'm kidding. You made a snitches joke.
Yeah, yeah, I did.
Anyway, yeah, they got a guy who, and they believe that he's the guy who's tagged at least 18 buildings.
Wow, okay.
And homes.
Okay, that's just rude.
Yeah, power boxes, stuff like that.
That's so, and here's the thing too. It kind of also depends on what he's putting on there. Yep, now, if it looks cool, I don't give a shit.
What was his name? Centro or Cento or something? I don't know. I don't even know.
Well, anyway, but yeah, if it looks cool, I don't mind it as much. But if it's just wieners or something.
Some of it was just like wording and stuff.
That's dumb.
It's just
Come on, man. Like, see, at that point, you need to take some time, get a big old piece of cardboard or board or something like that, put that in your garage, practice for a few months, get really good at putting something up, you know, fast that looks really cool. And then no one's going to give a shit, man.
And then go to the train yards.
Yeah, absolutely. No, absolutely. Just saying.
Mike and Carly and IFAF do not encourage
vandalism.
Defacing public private property. Yeah, okay. Or public property. Okay. Yeah,
any property, unless it's your own.
Oh, and East Idaho Crime Stoppers, you are IFAF this week. Chris Pie 5, 21 finger gun salute, and chef's kiss
to you for helping stop crime.
Because even though we believe in freedom of expression, we also believe in having a beautiful city, damn it.
Yeah.
Some more follow-ups about the not-so-secret naval base in landlocked northern Idaho.
Yes, yeah.
Bayview. Zach Swank on Insta commented, you know, my neighbor was out fishing and had a sub pop up next to him.
Funny.
He said a guy popped open the hatch and said, hey, can you turn off your fish finder? It's messing with some stuff we're testing.
That would be such a wild experience.
So he shut it off and the sub went back down. Right?
If that had been me, everyone I knew would have known about that within the hour.
Yeah.
That is such a weird, funny experience.
No men in black, no government officials, just a sub popping up going,
right,
dude. Turn off your depth finder.
Well, and I like that they were polite about it, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, they didn't cause a scene. They were just like, hey, we're trying to do a thing. Do you mind? And the guy's like, oh, yeah, no problem, neighbor. You know?
Well, and probably thinking, God, that's why the fish aren't biting.
Probably, right?
Yeah. Something fun we did last week, and it may, I don't know if it's out. I'm not sure when the episode is out.
Uh-huh.
But we did a whole episode of another podcast.
Yes. Uh-huh.
You and I together did an episode of the Roddy TV podcast.
Mm-hmm. Which was super fun. It's definitely different than our regular format.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a good time, and I did like all the snacks.
Well, and we didn't use our set. We used a couch.
Yeah.
Just a single
Not
shot.
Not a casting couch.
Kind of looks like one.
I guess.
It's more gray than black, though.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which also, black is kind of the worst color for that, but okay.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm not sure what color would be best.
I feel like a multicolored tan brown thing.
Yeah. There you go.
You know, that hides stains.
Yeah. We tried a bunch of treats.
Mm-hmm.
Some Harry Potter stuff that was the clear winner far and away.
Oh, yeah. It was good.
Some cotton candy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I did have a hard time stopping with eating that because it was so good. Like, I don't know. The Harry Potter stuff was definitely the tastier thing, but the cotton candy was a little addictive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was rainbow. Mm-hmm. It was unicorn colored.
Yeah, right.
And each color had a different taste.
Yeah, which is super fun.
So anyway, look for that either now or soon. Roddy TV, follow him on YouTube, mm-hmm. and he's killing it on Instagram. He often has Maddie Danger on.
Yeah.
Our buddy Ol Maury, Dylan.
Maria.
Maria from Aguas Maria,
mm-hmm.
and Liz, short for Lizard.
Yes.
Liz Uwu.
I still can't get over how funny that is. That's so funny.
That is funny.
Ah.
Anyway, he's doing noble family stuff. He asked us to fill in, and it was fun.
Yeah, it was a good time.
Little departure. Often we have a list. We've got a list. You see me looking over here at the iPad. I'm scrolling the iPad. We'll tackle, because we're not just entertainment, we're infotainment.
Yeah, we try to get a little bit of information to you.
Yeah.
But we just do what we want.
But on Roddy's show, we just got the BS, mostly.
It's a good time.
Stream of consciousness speaking. A lot of fun.
I've got a follow-up for us.
Okay.
Now, I'm sure you remember we talked about Ruby Frankie's Devil in the Family documentary on Hulu, basically talking about how she was kind of a momster.
Yeah.
Sorry, that's
Mommy
maybe...
dearest.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, basically...
Worse than a tiger mom.
Yeah. So if you haven't heard about this, though, basically she was a YouTube influencer of the channel 8 Passengers who was recently convicted of child abuse because one of her kids was able to escape where he was being held with her therapist, friend, and business partner.
Jody Hildebrand.
Thank you. I'm usually the one who gets that. Anyway, they were staying at her house. He was able to escape and go get help, and they found all kinds of evidence of abuse. It was a really horrible situation. Now, the interesting thing and the follow-up to all of that is that apparently down in Utah, they've actually added some laws to help protect child influencers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, which first of all...
Or children of influencers?
I think it's more... Well, I think that it's more to do with the children who create content.
Okay.
Kind of like a child actor.
All right, yeah.
Because I think children of influencers wouldn't have the same protections, per se.
Got it.
But if you're using the kid in your content, then they do.
Right, like Ruby Frankie was using her kids.
Exactly, yeah. If she hadn't used her kids for her channel, it probably wouldn't have done as well as it did.
Yeah.
Or at the very least, she would have had to completely change the format of it for it to.
Mm-hmm.
So Utah's governor basically passed a law that helps to do two things. It helps to ensure that once child influencers are adults, they have a means of scrubbing the internet of their image.
Okay.
Now, I will say I don't think that that's going to be super duper effective because everyone knows that once it's on the internet, it's there forever.
Well, yeah. How many kids from memes do we know? Charlie bit my finger.
Mm-hmm. It's freaking bats. I love that kid.
Right.
But yeah.
But and exactly. A million of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But anyway, so there's that piece. I don't know how effective that's going to be per se. But the other part that I do think is a good idea is that he's basically made it so that a portion of whatever proceeds the channel makes has to be set aside for the kid.
Okay.
A la that one law in Hollywood to protect child actors.
He was a child actor that Charlie Chaplin found in the 20s, I want to say. Jackie Coogan?
Okay, yeah.
Coogan's Law made it so that child actors couldn't get screwed out of their money.
Right.
Because I guess his parents blew everything or something. Mm-hmm.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, but you still hear stories of that.
You do.
Yeah.
I know it's not quite as bad now because they're, because of Coogan's Law, there is now a fund set aside, but it's also a teeny tiny portion compared to the whole of it. Think of all of the child actors who literally were the breadwinner. They were the ones supporting the entire family.
Miley Cyrus.
to be fair, Billy Ray did okay for himself, too.
Achy Breaky Heart did okay.
Yeah.
Well, and honestly, Miley is, I have such respect for her.
Uh-huh.
She is a fantastic singer.
She is. Here's the thing. I think that she kind of had a rough patch for a second.
Yeah.
But she's really come into her own, and I think that she's.
Well, have you seen Billy Ray Cyrus lately?
Oh, no.
He looks like he's trying to be Rob Zombie's younger, more attractive brother or something. It's weird, dude.
That's
You're
funny.
Always going to be Mr. Achy Breaky Heart.
Okay? Sorry, buddy.
Yeah.
And where content creation is the future, it makes sense that they're finally putting a law like this in place.
Yeah, and should be everywhere.
I was going to say, I feel like it should be federal.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it seems nuts to me that it's only in one state.
Mm-hmm.
But it kind of makes you wonder about some of the big child influencers right now and what's going to happen to them as they get older. It's going to be a neat case study, I guess. And one thing that I thought was really interesting in the article that I read about this is that her oldest daughter said something along the lines of... because her mom was always trying to strike content gold, she ended up viewing her kids as employees rather than children that needed to be loved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
means to an end
mm-hmm.
instead of, well, yeah, I mean, she.
I think that you can't really view them as your kids if you're willing to do what she did to them.
Yeah.
You know, there's got to be some disconnect there.
She's already been proven guilty, so I don't think I'm saying anything surprising when I say she went crazy.
Yeah, absolutely.
And while we're on the true crime tip, I last week read details about how prosecutors want to use a paper Brian Koberger wrote at college sort of against him.
Right. Okay. I think I've heard a little bit about this because I was following this when it first happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe it's the one where he basically pulled a bunch of former prisoners to kind of get their opinions on how did you feel when you committed the crime? I think one of the questions was like, would you do it again? Or like,
well, yeah, he was studying criminology.
Right.
Doesn't everybody think that he got a little too interested in his studies? And
yeah, that's definitely been one of the big theories.
Now we have the Moscow Four.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, and some Moscow people, Four. I'm sorry.
And some people also think that he was sort of using that paper to plan his crime a little too.
Right.
Because I know that he had asked, I think that he asked something about like, how did you get caught or something like that? So kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, he had lots of questions that sort of could help him plan out his own.
Right. And finally, Carly, the booms are back.
What?
The booms are back in town.
Well, does that prove then that it was not teenage boys after all?
I don't know. And here's why. They both instances I'm about to tell you about
mm-hmm.
happened on the weekend.
Okay.
At
interesting.
Night.
Teenage boy time.
Could
agree.
Be more teenage boys in Tannerite, except for this one comment. All right, let's start at the top.
Okay.
On Friday, March 14th, 9:18 p.m. in Manan.
Okay.
This was posted. I know people are tired of this, but I live in Manan, and the loudest boom noise so far scared my kids so bad they came running downstairs.
Oh, my gosh.
One comment. It shook the whole house. I was in the bath and I felt the ground rumble.
Whoa.
Scared us all. I thought the propane tank in my front yard had blown up.
Oh, I could see that. Also, can I just say, that was sort of the perfect moment for them to finally get to know what it felt like to be that glass of water in Jurassic Park.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think you'll ever get to experience that ever again in your life. So.
And the Jell-O on the spoon?
Yeah, relish it.
And then Saturday, March 22nd, which was, again, a Friday night, now a Saturday night, 11:11 p.m., this Rigby post.
Ooh, 11:11.
Just make a wish. I wish we'd get rid of these loud booms.
Mm-hmm.
Just heard the ominous boom sound. Anyone else? Comments. Heard it in Rexburg. Me too in Ryrie.
Wow.
Really strong here in Manan. Shook the house.
Oh, wow.
And then this comment, Carl, which takes us full circle to my original theory.
Teenage boys?
No.
Or aliens?
UAPs.
Okay.
Screaming up a lightly populated corridor. Remember, only 6.7% mm-hmm. of the nation's population lives in the mountain time zone.
Right, right.
That's why the coasts don't care about us.
Uh-huh.
And we're only, was it 3.5 or 4.5 minutes from Area 51 in Groom Lake, if you're doing Mach 10, which we know we can do.
Yeah.
Here's this comment. No way in hell that shooting some Tannerite travels from Rexburg to Ryrie to Louisville. Must be something way up high in the sky to resonate that big of an area.
Oh, shit. Mike, maybe you were right.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Okay.
But this was supposedly solved. Here's more for you, Jefferson County.
Right, right. Just saying, it's a little spooky.
It is.
You know, at this point, now that it's a little nicer out, I wonder if someone just sets up a camera. You know, does a little time lapse, sees what happens.
Keep your doorbell cameras running.
Yes, yeah.
Let's figure this out.
Let's even point a couple at the sky or something. Come on, you know?
Great idea.
Yeah.
So Local News 8 is on their PR train, welcoming back new old anchor from the 90s, Doug Long.
Right. Yeah, welcome back, Doug.
And they did that with this post here. Two photos. The first one's nice.
Mm-hmm.
It's got Linda Larson, right?
Yeah.
I always want to say Laura Linney. No, she's the chick in Love Actually.
Funny.
But look at this second photo. In fact, let's get a real close up in this second photo.
Yeah, I remember scrolling past that and seeing it and just being like, ooh, that is not the best picture they could have chosen.
Let's zoom in on this photo. Carly, I am now haunted by the soulless black eyes of the poorly color-corrected ghost blue Doug Long.
It's okay. It's not Doug's fault, first of all.
He haunts me in my sleep.
I will just say, really, the problem with this photo is that the lighting and the coloration is just terrible.
Local News 8, what are you doing?
I mean, especially where everyone's walking around with a professional camera in their pocket.
Yeah.
You know?
Use an iPhone to take photos from now on if it's going to end up looking like, if you're just going to take a still from one of your... Are you using HD cameras? I thought they went HD.
You know, it kind of reminds me of a camera I had when I was a kid. It was like one of the like really, really beginning digital cameras. And it took pictures very similar to that one.
So what we did is we took this to our IFAF tech team, Carl.
Oh, yeah?
And asked them to color correct it themselves.
Oh, that's nice.
Okay. In about 30 seconds, here's the old one. Mm-hmm. They gave us this new one.
Much better.
So just in case
I'm glad you did that. I wasn't part of that at all, but I'm glad that you took care of it.
Just if you think we're being picky, old, new.
It's kind of amazing what a little color correction can do.
Old, new. You see that?
Right.
Okay.
Anyway. And I think that proves that the subject of the picture isn't the problem.
Right, no.
It was just a bad quality picture.
Well, like I had a friend who joked, how come their video has looked the same since 1982?
Oof.
Right?
Yeah, that's
like,
rough.
Like, it's Bush League, man. It's Bush League. It looks small market.
Kinda. I mean, I don't want to throw too much shade because at the end of the day, doing a daily news show, it's still a huge undertaking.
Look, every town makes fun of a nearby smaller town.
Right.
So with that in mind, I'm going to say, what is this, Rigby, Idaho?
Man, Rigby getting tossed under the bus again.
Once by our AI and then once by me.
Yeah, I guess so.
Have you seen the great seal of the state of Idaho?
Oh, of course.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
We've all seen it. It's not on our quarters. No, what is it on?
In fact, I think that I had to color one of those when I was in school.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that they gave us that for one of our projects.
Did you know that it's the only state seal designed by a woman?
Oh, I actually did know that.
Out of 50.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Idaho's the only one.
And I do think it's a particularly pretty one, just saying.
It is.
Yeah.
In 1891, Emma Edwards Green of Stockton, California. That's right. We let a Californian design our logo, our great seal.
That's kind of hilarious, though.
Yeah.
I sort of love that.
And a woman?
Yeah. Man, we were like secretly kind of progressive.
We were very progressive.
Whoa.
Were we not?
Yeah, I guess so.
150 years ago. Anyway, her artwork reflects Idaho's values, justice, as you can see there on the left, liberty and natural beauty, and the state's motto, Esta Perpetua. Mm-hmm. Perpetua? I'm not Latin. Let it be perpetual. A lot of people just say that means it's forever.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I could see that.
Love it.
Huh. That's really neat.
We broke out the Idaho trivia a couple episodes ago, starting with the name of the state.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought I'd throw this little tidbit in there for you.
Yeah.
About our state seal.
You know, so far, it kind of seems like women had a heavier hand in Idaho's history than you might have expected.
Idaho?
Yeah.
And then this hoe.
Mm-hmm.
No. Kidding. That's a joke from
That was funny,
two
though.
Episodes ago. So sorry.
Looking for a new restaurant for dinner? Feed the whole family at Red's Grill. Red's Grill is a delicious and affordable dinner hotspot.
Enjoy over 20 different gourmet burgers with tasty fries, fresh salads, sandwiches, and more. Like the Viking Burger, super stacked so high they have to spear it with a steak knife.
Feed the whole family affordably at Red's Grill, inside the Shiloh Inn, Idaho Falls. Mention IFAF to get 20% off your entire meal. Alcohol not included, ya party animal.
Who would you rather rely on for your Idaho Falls fiber internet service? An out-of-state company or the best local choice, QuickNet.
Right now, get QuickNet's Crazy Fast 250 service for $37 a month or their Crazy Fast Gig service for $49 a month.
Unlimited data, no setup fee, no term contract, net neutrality, and hometown-friendly support. For Idaho Falls Fiber, choose QuickNet. New customers use code IFAF to save 15% on your first 3 months.
Ladies, go thrifting for spring at Elsie's Closet, upscale resale, Idaho Falls' only thrift store just for women.
Right now, save on blouses, sweaters, dresses, boots, and jewelry. Knit cardigans, layering pieces, and bags. And now featuring Bumble and Bleat Soapery.
Elsie's Closet. Find trendy, sustainable fashion that's budget-friendly. Look for the pink sign downtown on A Street. It's not just a stop at the thrift, it's a whole vibe.
Do you want to feed your family locally raised beef? Right now, Virgin River Land and Cattle Company is offering 25-pound butcher boxes with steaks, roasts, and ground beef.
You can have your very own farm-to-table experience. Find Virgin River Land and Cattle Company on Facebook. New customers use promo code IFAF to save 15% on your first purchase.
Virgin River Land and Cattle Company proudly ships to five states: Idaho, Utah, Montana, Oregon, Wyoming, and Nevada.
We're dedicated to having fun here on IFAF, just like we're dedicated to serving you when it's time to sell your home. Mike helps Idaho, and when it's time to make your move, we can help you too.
We know Idaho Falls, and we know the current real estate market. We'll guide you through the process with ease and confidence, and we're backed and brokered by the best, Keller Williams Realty, East Idaho.
When it's time to sell your home, make your move with Mike Helps Idaho. Lincoln Post. Do you love Idaho Falls as much as we do? Show it with a unique homegrown hometown tee from Teton T-shirts.
Including these cool vintage versions of the Civic Auditorium, the West Bank, and the Water Tower, our famous potato sack design, and the classic iHeart IFT. Check out TetonT-shirts.com. These exclusive designs aren't available in gift shops.
Head to TetonT-shirts.com. Lincoln Post, created in Idaho Falls for Idaho Falls.
Operating at 1/10 millionth the budget of the local TV station, it's a podcast that looks slightly better.
It's Idaho's Go-Go Talk Show, IFAF, Idaho Falls.
That's fun. I like that.
No, but we did, I don't know if you noticed, starting last episode, we did start shooting in slightly larger quality.
Yes, yeah. It does look a little nicer. Now, the sad thing is that most people are probably like throwing this up on their YouTube, yeah, listening to it and like glancing over on occasion when we talk about a thing, and that's it. So who's really going to appreciate it except for you?
That, and honestly, no one.
Yeah.
I've got a friend who's into video and he's like, it doesn't look that much better, dude. And what it does, it's so funny. I think it looks 10 to 15% better.
Okay.
20% would be overselling. It'd be too generous.
Right.
But it takes our file size from our original recording from 2 gig to 20 gig.
Jeez Louise.
So it's 10 times more. The file size and storage on this hard drive for that much better.
You know, I do appreciate your commitment to the bit, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? We make this podcast for us.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. If we were making it for someone else, we probably wouldn't be making it anymore. This is all just because we like to be here.
Yeah. I saw something depressing, I think, the other day, and I don't even know if you're supposed to talk about what you earn on Facebook. So far, I think we've earned $6 because we just got monetized.
Ooh, la la.
But then I saw another creator share a screenshot. Again, I don't think you're allowed to do that. Maybe you are.
I mean,
YouTube, I don't think so. Maybe Facebook.
That's kind of some BS if you're not, is the thing. Because, you know, just like if you're employed with someone, they can't tell you not to talk about what you get paid.
Right.
They can just gently discourage it.
But our most views on a single video is like 900,000.
Right.
I saw a screenshot of a gal whose video was viewed 9 million times.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So 10 times are, right? Is that 10? That's 10 times. And she only made $1,000 off of it. Now, that's still $1,000.
Off of one video, that's pretty darn good.
But it's not a trip to Hawaii.
Right, right. You know? Yeah, you'd need a few more of those to make that happen.
All right. But again, we're not in it for the money. We're in it for the passion.
Right, I agree.
To talk about the town that we love. And I just want to reiterate, it is home selling and home buying season heating up here.
Yeah. If you're looking for a pair of friendly realtors, you kind of get two for the price of one because we like to work together anyway.
Well, and we're really great at divorces.
Yes, that's true.
If you want to go that route.
Yeah, having each been through one, we're kind of great because we can kind of, you know, divide and conquer.
Husband can talk to me if you want. Wife can talk to me, Carly.
Or vice versa. We're cool like that. We don't care.
Whatever you feel comfortable with.
Whoever vibes better with the other person.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it's about.
And y'all don't even have to like each other because we like each other. So we can, you know, talk and get it all sorted out for you. Mm-hmm. Y'all don't have to worry about it.
Some sad news. I think it's sad news. And I don't, I'm not one of those people, you know, I'm out with the old water tower, in with the new.
I know.
I'm gung-ho. I'm not somebody who's like, well, but tradition.
Yeah, you are not a very sentimental dude.
I am about some things. I've got a box in my closet with
one box.
Sentimental stuff.
Sure.
But the Sundance Film Festival is leaving Utah.
Yeah, can you believe that?
Now it's going to do, you know, it's in January, February, right? Mm-hmm. January usually. It's going to happen one more year next year, 2026, mm-hmm. in Park City.
Yeah.
And then it's going to move to Boulder, Colorado.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Now, so, I've been to both places. Uh-huh. And I don't think, I get it. Boulder is sort of like a Park City.
Right.
In that it's a college town, mm-hmm. but it's just outside of Denver, mm-hmm. and it's hip and happening, you know?
Right.
Is it the new Austin? I don't know.
Maybe, but you know, it's funny though, because I did find a quote from the organizers who basically said that they were drawn to Boulder because of its small town charm with an engaged community, distinctive natural beauty, and a vibrant art scene, making it the ideal location for the festival to grow. Now, I would like to say, if you're looking for somewhere like that, por qué no Idaho Falls?
Yeah.
You know, I feel like we've got a pretty good art scene.
It's moving north a little bit, right? Or wait, yeah. Is Denver south? Is Boulder south or north of?
Oh, no, I think Boulder's south.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. But I'm just saying.
You're going the wrong way.
Maybe bring it up to us, especially because another reason that they cited was lack of affordable housing and basically saying that they'd outgrown Park City. Well, guess what, guys? Idaho Falls is growing all the time.
We have plenty of room.
We'll grow with you, baby cakes, you know? I mean, really, it's kind of an ideal situation because then as they grow, we can grow and it can sort of become a custom fit, you know?
And January's great here.
It's so good. You know, if anything, it'd probably help to sort of curb. It might help to curb some of the posers.
Right.
You know, you have to really want to come see it in order to brave that trip.
Well, and I don't know if you know this, but during Sundance, they would show some of the films at theaters in Salt Lake City.
Yes. Yeah.
And so now instead of, you know, driving 3.5 hours south, mm-hmm. you got to get a plane ticket.
Yeah, which sucks.
Unless the drive to Denver, there's a few mountain passes mm-hmm. in there, isn't there?
Yeah. You know, I'll also say another benefit that Idaho Falls would have that these guys don't, we still have a motor view.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. We got a drive in.
How cool would that be?
The reason it kind of guts me, the uh-huh. reason it stings a little bit is the Sundance Film Festival is named after Sundance, Utah.
Yeah.
And not just Sundance, Utah, but Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, mm-hmm. a movie made by Robert Redford, founder of the of what would become the Sundance Film Festival, mm-hmm. and Paul Newman, the Newman's Own dressing guy.
Right, right.
So it goes all the way back to 1969 and that film. Then Paul Newman started doing dressing. Mm-hmm. Robert Redford started doing the Sundance Film Festival.
And he does some great dressing,
by the way. He does. Plug. Oh, it all goes to charity. Great.
Actually, I also really like the Newman's Own limeade. It's so good.
I'll have to try it. I love the Simply. Is it better than Simply Limeade?
I think it is, personally.
Okay.
I really like the Newman's Own.
I'm sold. Let's at least give it a try.
Right?
All right. So Redford did this Sundance Film Festival in Utah, you know, home of Sundance, Utah.
Right.
And now are they going to change the name? Probably not.
Probably not.
I mean, I get it. It's still, to coasters, mm-hmm. to East Coast, West Coast people, it's still the Wild West.
Yeah, basically.
I get it.
Kind of sad to see it go, though.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what a shame for the community.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially because, like, there's not always a ton of hip and happening stuff in Utah.
The good news.
So it's sad to see it go.
I bet you there's some Salt Lake, Utah locals that are just like, hell yeah, we get the slopes back for those two weeks.
That's true.
You know?
Yeah, they're probably kind of glad to not have to deal with all of the extra people.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Speaking of movies, can we talk a little bit about some of the dumpster fires that have been in theaters lately?
Sure.
Now, okay, I'm going to say straight up.
As opposed to the dumpster fire that was on Netflix. No, I really did like The Electric State.
I didn't think it was bad. I felt like it was so close to being good, though.
Right. It had this sort of plot device that I was like, oh, yeah. that's depressing.
Okay. And another thing that I forgot to mention was the line where, okay, and this is a little spoiler, but it's not integral to the movie at all.
All right.
But Chris Pratt says to his robot counterpart something along the lines of, I loved you, buddy. Maybe even as more than friends. Something like that.
It sounds like a joke that was written by a last minute punch up writer.
And it just didn't land, and it was weird.
Because
and it just
Pratt
felt,
didn't deliver it like correctly.
I don't know.
I don't think.
Here's the thing. I don't know if it was as much his fault as it was just a bad line and a weird. Like it was just weird to add.
It was like that AI joke about Long.
Yeah.
I mean, you did leave that scene thinking, did he want to f*** that robot?
Yeah. Like, I genuinely was trying to think back to the other scenes where they'd been together and looking for some kind of, like, romantic tension. There right. was none that I could think of.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It was just a weird moment.
But which ones are you thinking of in particular? The dumpster fires
okay.
in theaters.
So, unfortunately, both of them are from Disney, which is such a shame because I'm a huge Disney fan and seeing it just
sure.
fall from grace so much in my lifetime has been horrible. You know,
and this isn't the first time. There are a lot of people claiming
right.
that late 80s, you know, before
the Disney Renaissance,
Aladdin was 1990, right? Before Aladdin.
I'm sorry. If you think that it started with anything but The Little Mermaid, you are incorrect.
But there was a lull
right.
before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Disney Renaissance was a great time. Those were the movies that I grew up with. Was Disney Renaissance movies,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the classics, but
Beauty
those,
and the Beast,
but those
and it was
were
all,
like the
yeah.
big ones.
Yeah, it was
you
hot.
Know, and so. Seeing them fall from grace after having such a, you know, great comeback almost is like, it's like they didn't learn the first time.
Yeah.
That's what bothers me the most, you know, and now everything that they've been producing is another fucking Marvel movie, a live action remake,
the live action
a sequel, remakes. You know, like where is the new innovative Disney that we used to know and love?
And there are plenty of people that have had plenty of problems with the live action remake of Snow White.
Right, right.
I mean, we just started watching on Hulu
mm-hmm.
How Disney Built America.
So good, by the way.
Fascinating. And you know we
love
those shows.
Yeah, the Built America series.
Toys.
So good.
Food. Uh-huh. The Built America. You know, all that
just
stuff.
Just great.
I even like, you know, the men, the machines, all that mm-hmm. shit. But yeah, Snow White was at one point, I mean, it took years in development.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It was called Disney's Folly. He was mortgaging his house and his car and his...
He mortgaged the mouse.
Yeah.
He put literally everything on the line just to make Snow White happen. He would have lost the rights to Mickey Mouse had that been a flop.
Yeah. Wow, you really imagine? Paid attention to that.
Oh, yeah. yeah. Well, So my family has always been really big Disney fans. I grew up in a house that had at least 4 to 5 rooms at a time decorated in Disney.
Half of your parents' garage is your mom's Disney Christmas stuff.
Yeah, it's insane. Last she counted, she has 14 tote boxes of Disney Christmas
wow.
stuff.
Yeah, the clear totes with mm-hmm. the lids, the
yep.
rubber mat.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, not even the clear ones. She's got the heavy duty black and yellow ones.
Oh, black
full
and
of those.
Yellow. Black and yellow.
Yeah. yeah. And right. those are slightly bigger than a standard tote.
Wow.
So she, like, realistically, if she was in a standard tote, we'd probably be looking at 16.
So I guess what I'm saying is that the big Snow White live action remake falling flat.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how do you live up to the first animated full-length feature
mm-hmm.
ever made.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That used so many innovative pieces of technology just to exist.
The multi-plane
yeah,
camera.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Not only that, but also the fact that storyboarding was created just for Snow White.
Right.
And now that's industry standard,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Didn't know that.
So yeah, realistically, a live-action remake almost definitely never could have stood up to the original, and I don't really give a shit about the whole, like, fact that she's not white. I don't. I do
yeah.
think, personally, I think that colorblind casting is kind of the future. I think it's just how it's going to go,
mm-hmm.
and I don't really care. I think if
in a
anything,
few thousand years, we're all going to be the same color anyway.
Kinda, right, yeah. And realistically, the way I see it is...
Gray.
yeah.
Big eyes.
We're going to be aliens. The way I see it really is, I think that it's an opportunity for the best actor for the role to get cast, mm-hmm. regardless of look.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, the fact that they could make George Washington Black in Hamilton, and it worked so damn well.
Oh.
Gives me a lot of hope for that.
Well, and I love Bridgerton.
Right. Yeah. It's great.
Yeah.
Anyway, the point is, I don't really care about that aspect of it, but, you know, the fact that even she wasn't excited about it coming out, she didn't seem that into it. The whole thing, it just feels like such a cash grab.
And do you have any desire to see Moana 2 at all?
Not really. No, I want to see it for the sake of being able to say I did and to talk about it. But Moana is its own dumpster fire because it wasn't actually supposed to be a movie.
Oh?
The second one, at least.
Was it supposed to be direct to Disney Plus?
No, it was supposed to be a series.
Oh, okay.
But they decided it wasn't going to make enough money on Disney Plus, so instead they turned it into a movie. Mm. You know?
That's like if you made Battlestar Galactica the movie. Did
they? Right.
Because Battlestar Galactica was a cheap TV knockoff of Star Wars, which, by the way, I loved.
Sure.
The Cylons and the red eye bouncing and shit. That was cool.
Right.
But yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, the thing that really makes me mad about the whole Snow White thing is that we just had this plea at the Oscars where they were like, please go to the movies, go watch movies in theaters. And then they keep handing us this repackaged bullshit.
Right.
And they want us to get excited for what? For what? You know, we're already spending so much money on all of these streaming services.
You keep raising the prices of the streaming services.
Right. We don't have money to go to theaters anymore anyway. And on top of that, why the hell would I bother going and buying a ticket for a movie that I've already seen a better version of years ago that was interesting and innovative in its time? And on top of that, you want me to like spend my money when you're going to just put it on the platform in like what? A month?
Right. Oh, I was impressed, and I forget what platform, but a couple Oscar winners are already out on streaming.
Right.
There's one on Hulu, and I think one on Max that I was like, oh, shit, that's already out.
Yeah, which, don't get me wrong, as someone who prefers to stream, I love that.
Yeah.
Because I gotta say, I like to talk during movies, and you can't do that in the theater, so it's kind of nice being able to watch these movies in home relatively close to when they came out, so you don't have to deal with spoilers.
But it does seem like, you know, the industry is speaking out of one side of their mouth and the other.
Yeah, like, make it worthwhile to go to the movies, for one.
Yeah.
Mostly, I would say, by dropping prices a little bit, you know? And also, don't keep giving us crappy versions of better movies, you know?
Yeah, good point. Give us a reason.
Yeah.
To go spend $50 on popcorn.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
And a trigger warning if you need it, we're about to show you a big old sack. Here comes some big old nuts.
What is this, Step Brothers?
Yeah. How do you like D's?
Don't put them on a drum set.
Idaho governor has signed a bill criminalizing truck nuts.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. I will say I'm a little split on this. A big part of me loves it because I think they are the grossest, weirdest, just the weirdest thing to put on a car.
Uh-huh.
You know, they're just icky. Like, that is, okay.
I think it's kind of funny.
I'm going to sound really harsh, but realistically, out of every single piece of anatomy on a human body, I think there is only one thing grosser looking than nuts, and that's buttholes.
Ah, okay.
You know, and honestly, buttholes are nearly as bad looking because those in the right color could look like a little firework, you know?
I mean, if you think about how a baby is formed, the lips and the beehole are the same thing.
I mean, yeah, that's what you start as.
Give us a kiss.
I'm just saying. Yeah. I can't think of anything grosser looking on a person.
I just
maybe
think
a uvula.
Dude's junk in general is, why are we doing this?
Yeah.
What else are we, if this is true, what else is true kind of thing?
And that's sort of where I go.
Are we going to outlaw, and I don't know if we have any of these in Idaho, but those Italian fountains with the little cherubs and they're peeing into the fountain? Are we going to outlaw those too?
No, because those are classy.
But here's what else is updated about Idaho's indecent exposure law by House Bill 270, which already bans the public exposure of genitalia. That's good.
Okay, yeah.
To include female breasts.
Oh.
Did your parents ever tell you, by the way, did you know that women can walk around topless?
No, my parents never told
Somebody
me that.
Somebody shocked me with that trivia fact once when I was a kid. I was like,
I learned about it later, but my parents didn't tell me that.
Oh, I don't know.
Did yours?
Nah, my stepdad was a wealth of information. Rest in peace. But male breasts altered to look like female breasts. Uh-huh. So some people are saying, oh, this is anti-trans. Artificial breasts.
If anything, that's trans-inclusive, though.
Yeah.
Because they're treating them like women.
And toys or products that resemble genitals, which would be truck nuts. What's exempt? Breastfeeding. Yeah. So whip those out all you want, as long as it's in a motherly, nurturing role.
Right. You know, I kind of think that's some bullshit, too. If you're going to outlaw female breasts, you got to outlaw men's breasts, too. Okay? Especially because some of them, without being altered, do look like titties.
You know, it's true that women mature faster than men because they get theirs at 14.
Right.
And men don't get theirs till they're 44.
Right, exactly.
Oh!
I'm just saying, there are plenty of times when there's been a dude jogging down the street and I didn't want to see that either.
Yeah.
You know? So it feels a little unfair that they're only going after women's breasts and that. I kind of think you either do both or neither, you know?
And I don't know what to think. I mean, if you're going to outlaw truck nuts, do you also outlaw the Yosemite Sam back off mud flaps?
I mean, those aren't really vulgar. They're just tacky.
Or the classic female laying down on one elbow.
Right.
Or the Calvin and Hobbes peeing on whatever brand of truck you don't like. Or the no fear stickers.
Well, and again, none of those are vulgar. They're just tacky.
All right. I see your point.
Now, that being said, I know that I have seen some pretty racy, you know, truck stickers of like women, you know, wearing very little to no clothing. I know I've seen, you know, titties on a truck before, you know. So I kind of get it. And it feels a little unnecessary and a little bit like they're stomping on rights here. So it feels a little slippery slope-ish.
I
just also don't want to see truck nuts because I think they're gross looking and dumb.
I will say, and I kind of agree with you, but I think they're funnier. So they, in my mind, they get a pass.
But I mean, I don't think they're that funny. Also, why do you want your truck to be a boy so bad? Like, why do you want to know that your truck is a dude?
That's a really good point.
Especially because truck nuts are not that cheap.
There's already the joke about the the overcompensating size of your truck.
Right.
Certainly, if you've got the sack hanging from the back.
Yeah, right.
That's also got to say something.
Mm-hmm. Either that or else you want to make sure that you're riding a dude. Just saying.
All right. Are you ready, snackers? Let's get snacking. It's time for a snack attack.
It's treat time. Such a neat time. Better than smelling feet time.
Today we're trying a variety of savory pickle-flavored chips by Vlasic, Doritos, and Cheetos.
It's treat time.
Look at all that salt.
You know, the hardest part, too, is that these are some big bags.
I can't even see your face. Do you want to throw me one?
Yeah, you know what? Okay, I want to end on the Cheetos because they're flaming hot, and I feel like...
Yes, we're going to have a progression.
So I think we should start with the... Here, why don't you hold those?
I think we should start with these.
Yeah, those seem like the quintessential pickle.
Vlasic pickle balls.
Yeah, I can't imagine them doing anything super crazy flavor-wise. I think they're going to try to stick to a true pickle flavor.
They basically look like cheese balls, only pickle balls.
Which is amazing, by the way.
Now outlawed in Idaho. And by the way, these huge sizes, courtesy of Costco.
Yeah, right?
And you're holding the Doritos Tangy Pickle.
Ooh, and it smells good.
Which, by the way, didn't even ring up when we bought them.
Yeah, you said that you got it so quickly after they unloaded them that they didn't even have the barcode in yet.
Yeah.
My There's mouth no is neat watering way to open so this. Bad. Yeah. Yeah. Because do you want me to help you with that? You got it?
No, I wanted to open them neatly like you did.
Ah.
And that's not going to happen, kids.
Apparently not.
Okay.
Oh, here's a funny follow-up that we kind of missed that has to do with this. You were telling me earlier that you finally heard the term Big Back in the wild.
In the wild. I was at Winco today, and two 20-somethings walked by, and I heard one of them say, we got to go get some fruit. We can't just have all this Big Back stuff.
And she's right. I love that.
You got to smell this bag.
Yeah, give it.
It's very dilly.
Oh, that smells so good.
Dilly dilly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. See, okay. This one already, I can tell, has a like more vinegar heavy flavor, maybe even like an almost sweeter flavor than these do.
Okay.
Yeah, because these ones are a little bit more savory and spicy smelling.
So do you want to take a few?
I do. Balls? I'm ready.
These
yeah.
balls?
Yeah, give me a couple of balls.
Do you remember the meme, Mr. T ate my balls?
Oh. Oh, yeah, I think I do vaguely.
Yeah.
Also, I kind of wish we would have had these for St. Patty's because they are such a nice shade of green.
I can't hold up a whole handful, but...
These are dangerous. Oh, yeah. Those are a late night snack attack waiting to happen.
This is absent-minded snacking at its finest.
You know what? What we should do...
Oh, they're so fun to dissolve in your mouth.
Let's sneak those into a theater, go watch Snow White, and just plow through the entire bag. I'm going to have to pretend to be pregnant in order to get them in because there's no other way we're hiding that thing. But either that or else I'm taking a duffel bag as a purse, and I think they're going to get suspicious by that.
But wow. Yeah,
those are good.
Two wows.
Them some good eating.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all right. So next we're going to try the Doritos Tangy Pickle. I'm really excited about these two.
Me too. Especially
because I love the crunch of a Dorito, you know?
Yes. Yeah. Doritos, one of my faves. I actually like all chips that end in O's. I like Doritos, Tostitos, and Cheetos, Fritos.
You do like Fritos. You're a Frito-loving boy.
The thing I like about Fritos is it's three things.
Right.
Corn oil, salt.
Right.
That's it.
They keep it very simple.
Ooh, zesty.
Very zesty. I kind of like these because they almost have a little bit of a cool ranch flavor to them.
Okay.
Am I the only one detecting that?
I would love to dip these in ranch.
Right. Here
you go, another. There's an emphasis on the zesty. There's a reason they put that word zesty on this package.
Mean tangy?
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's how you can tell this is not an actual endorsement.
Ooh.
Call a product by the wrong name.
That's good, though. Okay. But genuinely, what I want to do with these, I want to go out and get some cool ranch Doritos, put these two together, have some pickles and ranch, baby.
I kind of want to just dip these in ranch now that you mention it.
Oh, they smell really good. Ooh, or like some ranch dip.
So what is that tang? Good. It's just a little extra vinegar tang?
Yeah, it's almost like they started with the salt and vinegar flavor and just added some dill to it.
Let me ASMR this here.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? It's funny because I thought that the Vlasic ones would be more vinegar heavy, but I think these ones are.
That's what it reminds me of is the salt and vinegar chip sensation in my mouth.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But then it's got the added pickle.
Right. It's almost like they started with a salt and vinegar Dorito and just added the dill to it.
Yeah.
That's good though. And actually good. A really good way to make a dill pickle flavored thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a big ingredient.
Yeah,
in basically. Pickles, it's vinegar.
All right.
That's now, how it goes from cucumber to pickle.
And now for probably the dark horse of the of
now
the
we're set. Gonna get extreme. These yeah, now are the we're going ones. Nuts. So two things. The tangy pickle Doritos were like a surprise. Like might as well get those too.
Yeah.
But we were after by name the Vlasic pickle balls.
Right.
And the Cheetos Flamin' Hot Dill Pickle Crunchy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they come in soft, do they?
I don't think so.
And no. Now, let's just make sure they're flaming hot colored.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, that's one thing I was going to say is, unlike its other two counterparts that definitely have more of a green tint to them, these ones are straight up red. Now, I think it's funny, though, because the balls are green, the Doritos are sort of a yellow, and then these are red. So you've basically got a stoplight here.
Yeah.
Which is why we're stopping on these.
Okay.
Yeah. Also, scent-wise, these don't smell like pickles. Like, give that a sniff.
Yeah, may I?
Yeah.
Nope.
No, not even a little,
smell
right?
Smell like Cheetos.
Yeah. Okay. I don't really taste the pickle much.
Definitely flaming hot.
Yep.
Ooh. Pow, pow.
Yeah. Yeah, kicks you right in the salivary glands.
In the mouth junk.
Mm-hmm. That's your uvula. Yeah.
Kicks you right in the uvula. Yeah, the sides of my tongue are already
heating up a little.
Yeah.
The nice thing is the heat subsides pretty quick.
And I'll eat sriracha. Like, I am white, but I'm not that white.
Do you taste the pickle?
Yep. It's there.
Mm-hmm.
It's up front, but what happens is then the flaming hot takes over.
Yeah.
And that's all you can taste in your mouth.
Yeah. Yeah, the pickle is very, very mild in this. I don't dislike it for what it is. You know, especially because at the end of the day, the cheese has to be the upfront flavor for Cheetos.
Right.
If it's not that, then it's not really a Cheeto, you know?
So, out of these three, who is the winner?
Personally, I like the Doritos better.
Okay. Yeah. I like the Vlasic pickle balls better.
Interesting. Which makes sense, too, because you like to buy Claussen's pickles, which I would describe as more of a mild flavored pickle.
Yeah. Just pickle. Mm-hmm. Tastes like a pickle.
Yeah.
No other affectation to it at all.
Right. And I definitely like my pickles much more vinegary than your pickles. Like, okay, the pickle juice.
You hold
that
your
I like
bag and I'll hold mine.
Yeah. But like the pickle juice I like to buy is much tangier than a Claussen's pickle juice. You know what I mean?
Right, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you like that concentrated.
Yeah, I like that tang. Juice. I like it when it zing zangs and makes you pucker.
That's just a nice straight ahead, salty,
right.
Pickle flavored ball.
Yeah. See, these ones I think will do the same thing that salt and vinegar pickles will do, where if you eat enough, they're going to tear up your mouth.
Yeah.
And I love that. That's my favorite thing about salt and minis.
Tearing up my mouth when I eat you.
Yeah. Oh, these are just really good. And so crunchy.
So what's coming up?
Well, this Sunday is a very special episode of IFAF. We are doing the IFAF conference intermission. That's going to be going on April 6th at noon.
This Sunday. Mm-hmm. You know, the first session of general conference is 10 to noon.
Uh-huh.
Second session is 2 to 4.
Yep. We're going to just fill in that space right between. We might not go the entire 2 hours, but we're definitely going to be there for a hot minute. That way...
Do we want to say we're keeping it family friendly or try at least?
I mean, I think we're going to have a good time without going overboard.
I know at least one thing we're doing is we got this stuff that's advertised as church candy.
Yes. Yeah.
Remember, we've had this discussion before. What makes the best church candy?
Mm-hmm. Now, I actually agree it's a caramel because it comes in that nice wax paper wrapper.
Right.
So it's not too crinkly and you can suck on it and make it last forever.
You can suck on it.
Stop.
We just want you to know you can suck on it.
That's about as bad as we're going to get for the IFAF conference intermission.
All right.
So feel free to join us in between the sessions. Huh. Next, we have the Circuitalia Water Circus. Now, these are the same folks who do the Paranormal Circus.
Okay.
So if you liked that, which I definitely did last time they did it, it was really, really good. And they definitely stepped up some of the bits in between, which was
right.
fun. Now, that's going to be going on April 18th through the 21st, so you've got a couple of days. And once again, it's going to be in the Grand Teton parking lot, just like the Paranormal Circuses, too.
Yes, okay. And that is a busy weekend with the East Idaho Home and Garden Show going on at the MAC.
Yes.
And also the annual...
The crab feed.
Yeah, the Elks Lodge crab feed thing
that
we talked about last episode, I want to say.
Right.
Okay.
Now, we have already mentioned that Bert Kreischer is coming to the MAC, but did you know that also Tom Segura is coming to the MAC?
The other half of the Two Bears, One Cave podcast.
Yeah. And that's going to be going on April 26th at 7:30. It's a Saturday. So nice to see these bigger acts coming to little old Idaho Falls.
Right?
Yeah.
It's the MAC built it, and we're coming.
Yeah.
Okay.
The MAC was built and they did come.
And that's our show. Stay fresh, cheese balls.
Toodaloo, my dudes.